Damn. You killed Keisha. Kesha.
Yeah. good morning, lovely people. You know where you are, right?
Yay!
It is lunch. It's Ginger and Corey. I'm Corey. Thank you. Please sit down. No, sit down, please. Thank you. I'm Corey.
And I'm Kesha.
You're Kesha. Where's Ginger? Kesha doesn't know games.
Yeah, this is right. Okay, I'm Ginger.
We're going to need you to step out of the building, Kesha. You can come back later.
Take your glitter and go.
Yeah, glitter and one night. So, I am convinced that she stole her look from the first season of the model. The girls had that exact same outfit on. Okay.
she might have. You never know.
I do not. Oh, wow. It is lovely, delicious Friday morning. It's actually cold.
Finally, Friday.
It is actually cold here where I am.
I haven't been outside yet, so I don't know.
I opened the door, and the cold, you know, came in, and I said, no, and I closed the door. And
No, I got up and started laundry this morning and all that fun stuff. I haven't even been outside yet.
I do love it when it's cold. I just don't want to be out in it. Same with the heat. Well, I don't love the heat at all. I don't want to be out in it. I hate it. But I love the cold. Oh, I love it when it's cold.
Cold is nice. You know what? I don't even have Twitter open.
Uh-oh.
Jay, I'm sorry. Boobs. A little slow this morning, hon.
Actually, somebody beat us to the boobs.
Oh, somebody beat us to the boobs? Oh, it's... no.
No, that was that tequila at Tequila Punk.
Oh.
He said the boobs are out. Yes, they are. You are so right.
Yes, they are.
That's how we roll.
And now I got tequila makes your clothes fall off going through my head. That's nice.
I'm sorry.
I blame you, Corey. You're so evil.
Yeah, I am. I concur. It's Friday and I am evil. Okay, I need to correct something I keep telling you all in Houston that the Extra Life tournament is today. It is not today. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow at 6 p.m. be at the Microsoft Center in the Galleria area. That's where I will be. Several other gamers, your favorite gamers in the community. We have a couple of famous gamers that live, you know, around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're there. I'm going to run this promo one more time because some of you weren't listening the first time. So guess what?
One more time.
The Extra Life video game marathon is coming on October 15th. Extra Life is just like a run or a walk or a bike event, except you never have to get off the couch. Sign up at extra-life.org. Then get friends and family members to give you money to play. On October 15th at 8 a.m., play any games you want on any system for 24 hours. Find out more and sign up. extra-life.org. Play games. Heal kids. Extra Life. This message made possible by Children's Miracle Network Hospitals in this podcast.
That's right. So you guys, Yay. It is not too late. Oh, you want applause? Yeah. It is not too late. Put your little butt over to extralife.org. Sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Call your grandma. Call grandma and say, Grandma, I need $24. And you have to say it like that. I need $24.
I need $24.
At least $24 to start me off. I'm going to play games, and it's for a good cause. If it's my grandma, you call me. I'll send her to your house. She loves zombie games. She will sit with you and yell at the screen 24 hours. She'll stay up.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
She will scream at the TV over and over, kill him, kill that. daytime, I can't say that, but you know. Fill in the blank with whatever expletive you'd like, but she's going to yell it at the TV. So, yeah, she'll keep you awake. She hits you over the head. She makes really strong coffee. Oh, she has one of those old coffee machines. Do you guys remember the
perks?
That wasn't me. Crochet party at my house, by the way. Crochet parties. I don't know how this happened, but there is one. You remember those old coffee pots, the percolators?
Uh-huh.
She has one of those. Those make, like, forget Starbucks. This coffee right here is, like, concentrated energy. Bless you. So very concentrated caffeine, the percolators are. So you need some of that, you let me know. I drop by her house, I pick up the percolator. Well, she's not going to let me take it. It is vintage, and it still works, and it's in pristine condition. So I can't take it out of her house, but I can make you a pot of coffee and bring it to you. You may not sleep for a couple of weeks, but you'll be awake tomorrow when you need to be. Oh, the lovely FF love. You know what? Follow Friday. I was about to say Freaky Friday. The Follow Friday love on the Twitter is nice. Hello, people.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, hello, people.
That is so nice. Let's add Ginger in there so y'all can stalk her, too. Y'all know y'all love
her. Yay. Yes, stalk me. Stalk me.
Run, Ginger, run.
Bring me cookies when you stalk me.
We probably need to do some news, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I actually have a story. Well, I have a short little one, and I would just want to read it because it's amusing to me more than anything.
Mm. Amusement is fun. Do share.
Okay. Are your bosses listening? Please don't be listening. Turn your heads away. The Wall of Our Hearts, artsy hipster shit, available free for PC now.
What? Did you say what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
It's part of the title. Self-entitled hipster douchebag pigpen of GooGumProduce.com.
This is not going well.
Today announced in a soulless press release that the Wall of Our Hearts has been released to all the internets. With confrontingly anti-traditional puzzle mechanics, atmospheric audio, and enticing 8-bit hipster aesthetic and world's most authentic fish-riding simulation, the Wall of Our Hearts cast the player as one of two thin, pale-skinned lovers separated by a sky-high wall. You must climb to ever greater heights in hopes of reaching her. To help you along your way, our friendly ducks, salmon, cream puffs, science, and even your arch nemesis, the great. I'm dying. This is crazy. All right. So the rich atmosphere will put you in and hug you as tightly as the skinniest of skinny jeans. The roar of waterfalls, rustles of trees in the winds, and ghetto blasters pumping out jazz electronica make the Wall of Our Hearts an unforgettably artsy-fartsy world to experience. Not that most people will really get it. It's pretty deep stuff. Oh, my God. All right. So it's available now exclusively for the PC. And I'm going to put the link up on GamingAtrix.com in a little bit because this is a long link. So just check it out in a minute. I love this. I love this. Yeah, like it's got a link to the pictures and the whatnot, and it's like two screenshots wearing trousers so thin they look painted on. And the video link is a video. Like we even care.
Listen, you know,
hipsters. I love you, hipsters. Y'all are so crazy. Y'all are the new emo.
I just Twittered up now. Stuff that's not safe for work. Keep the sound down. Ginger starts off the show just raw.
I'm sorry. When I saw the story, I had to. Hipsters are so flippin' goofy. It's hilarious.
Oh, my God. Ginger's out of order already this morning. Okay. Well, if you saw Twitter, if you're watching, Google says they can make you dance. How?
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. How? They're planning to open a new MP3 music store. They've entered into negotiations with a couple of major record labels. This is reported from the New York Times. The MP3 store, which would work in conjunction with Google's Music Beta Cloud service, would directly compete against Amazon and Apple's iTunes store. Like Apple and Amazon, music purchases made through Google's new store would be accessible through its Music Cloud service. Yes, they are using the cloud. I've used it. It's rather smooth, I must say, although I'm still leery of the cloud. Of course, this allows customers to back up your songs.
Very afraid.
Yes, I am afraid. The service is going to allow you to back up your songs to Google servers so that they can stream you so that you can stream them to a variety of different devices. Google, of course, is likely in a race to get the store up before Apple launches iTunes Match. This is a $25 a year service that gives people legal access to any songs currently in their iTunes library, which is nice because I am mad that I keep having to go back into Zune and re-download or whatever mm-hmm. it is, re-register my Beyonce, my whoever. However, both Google and Apple are already late to the game. Amazon was the first to launch a cloud service to complement its customers' digital media purchases. The company, of course, offers a cloud drive with 5 gigabytes of space. That's not enough. I've used that up already. Which customers can upload anything they want into. VentureBeat, of course, reported back in May that Google's previous talks with record labels about creating its own digital locker service were unsuccessful due to piracy concerns. According to the New York Times report, the current negotiations would solve this problem by matching up each song to the account for which people are listening to, much like iTunes Match would. In its earlier negotiations with music companies for a so-called smart locker service, a web storage system that lets people link their digital music collections to a vast central database, broke down over financial terms and the music company's complaints that Google was not doing enough to curb piracy. Really? They can't? Google was unavailable for immediate comment about a possible MP3 store. They can't. Really, you can't. They'd have to go after YouTube, like, big time.
Yeah. Yeah, they would. And YouTube, oh, my God. Can you imagine?
YouTube shut down, there would be an uprising.
Yes, there would. There would. Oh, my God.
The likes of which you have never seen.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know what they seem to think they're going to be able to do about all this piracy, the way they're going about it. It's just...
I know that they have to at least try to stop it, but some things you just... And some people... I don't mind paying for my music, and some people don't, and some people are like, I want to hear it first, and some people are like, I need to... You know, I don't have the money, I'll buy it later, but I would like to have it now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could put the music on layaway. Maybe you can...
See, that's why I like Pandora. I will listen to a couple of commercials. That's fine by me. I mean, I don't even get to specifically choose exactly what songs I'm listening to, but I get to choose...
The genre.
Pretty much. Yeah, the genre. I get to listen to what I want to hear. So, I mean, that's nice, and I'll deal with some commercials. That doesn't bother me.
Well, I'm glad that YouTube made their commercials able to be skipped at a certain point, because that was annoying.
Oh, that was so annoying.
I'm waiting to hear my Beyonce so I can clean the office, and I gotta wait. You are messing up the buzz I'm trying to get. I gotta clean.
All right, what have I got? Anyways, XMG's Powder Monkeys is ready for battle. iOS mobile game Powder Monkeys combines exploration, battle, and customization for a truly unique action-based role-playing mobile game. XMG Studio, a leading developer of hit mobile video games, is taking the next step in addictive gaming on smartphones with its newest action and adventure game, Powder Monkeys. Unique gameplay allows users to actively immerse themselves in the game by customizing their pirate ships, deciding on which adventure quest to master, which bizarre islands to conquer, and which hidden chests to plunder. The game is available for download at 99 cents in the Apple's App Store. Ray Sharma, founder and CEO of XMG Studio, says, Powder Monkeys combines all that's good in a game, endless exploration, the adventure of a role-playing game, and a battle mechanic that has a tower defense feel. It will appeal to both casual and serious action RPG gamers thanks to its simple and intuitive gameplay. Better top off your iPhone's battery, guys. This one's dangerously addictive. Arr. Why they are. All right, anyways. In the world of Powder Monkeys, mankind has been rendered extinct by an unforgiving ice age. Amidst the thaw, two creatures evolve to take man's place, monkeys and insects. Ooh, yuck. Ugh. All right, so players sail the high seas to save monkey kind from a hostile insect takeover. Players start out the adventure as an eager but inexperienced monkey captain of a Navy ship with no gold, no reputation, and only minimal knowledge of the great seas. To gain experience and resources, the player will need to complete quests, plunder treasures, and fight fierce bug pirates, all while exploring an open world of seas and islands. The procedural level design delivers new quests, keeping the explorations eternally adventurous. Experience points will let the fearless players who challenge and fight the bug pirates to advance to higher levels, unlock new quests, and eventually challenge the insect's nefarious captain, Fidel Mantis.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so this sounds interesting.
That's like a
two things that I'm not really keen on. I don't like monkeys, and I don't like bugs.
Why were they are? I thought there should be some pirates in there somewhere.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, you're fighting bug pirates.
Yeah, there's something wrong with y'all.
Yeah.
Right. Something wrong with y'all over there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need some help. I don't know what to tell you.
y'all need help? You don't really know what kind. We know you do.
I just know you need some help. I'm not here to tell you what kind. You just need some help. All right, moving along. I'm sorry. I'm mentally trying to make the connection between the R. Well, I'm moving along. Well, apparently, Baroness Greenfell has spoken against the dangers of allowing children to play video games. GI.biz is reporting this morning that she's arguing that it has negative effects on both attention span and behavior. Why are you not trying to ban candy? Just saying.
Right?
Speaking to the Daily Telegraph, Greenfield explained that she believes gaming can physically alter the human brain. The human brain has evolved to adapt to the environment. It therefore follows that if the environment is changing, it will have an impact on your brain. She says if you play computer games to the exclusion of other things, this will create a new environment that will have new effects. Every hour you spend in front of a screen is an hour not spent climbing a tree or giving someone a hug. I don't know about you, but I hug the hell out of people all the time, and
yeah.
I play games all day long.
Well, I don't really hug people, but yeah, all right.
You're going to hug me.
All right, I'll hug you.
Yeah, I'm going to hug you.
I will hug you, Koi.
Mm-hmm. She's going to try to run y'all. Okay, so she also suggested that the audience she addressed yesterday at the opening of a new science wing at Sheborn's Girls' School go outside to climb trees and feel the grass under your feet and the sun on your face. In 2000...
Oh, the sunburns, the grass... No, I'm allergic.
It's
a whole ordeal. It's not good. I don't want to.
But that's because, you know, you don't go outside. That's why you're allergic to grass. Okay, so anyway. In 2009, Greenfield argued that gaming could affect the prefrontal cortex of the brain. She says, you use it or you lose it. If you don't use it, you're infantilizing the brain. It won't come on stream as much. That's the hypothesis. Until last year, Baroness Susan Adele Greenfield was the director of the Royal Institute of Great Britain and is a member of the House of Lords. Until last year.
Yeah, you know what else hurts the brain? When you're dropped on it as a child.
Oh, she's...
Yeah. Woman, I don't like you. Because, so many reasons. There's so many. And you know what's worse is...
Now, here's one thing. This is, again, from GI.biz. I love reading the comments from the developers, and so not everybody there is developer. Some are media. One of them was saying he had actually read a study that shows children who play games have better intelligence and do better in aptitude tests due to hand-eye coordination. So, and I've read that study, too. There's also a study from where she's from in Great Britain. The IAB found that games were overwhelmingly positive force for building and maintaining friendships and family relationships. Also that 33 million people, half of the UK population, play games regularly. Also 98% of children play games. And in a BBC study back in 2005, found a similar percentage of children played video games. So she's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't.
Our brain is a computer. I don't know where she would... Where she's, you know what I hear? Elvis, that Elvis guy is shaking his pelvis and he's going to corrupt our children. That's what I just heard when she said all that.
I love that. I love you, Koi.
Lady, get
awesome.
Just, them with the whole games are evil thing. Get over, they're not going anywhere. Every time you glom onto something to try to say it's going to harm our kids, that rap music's got to go away. It's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Over 40, going on 50 years being around, it's not a craze, it's not a fad, neither are the games. They've been around 30, going on 40 years. They're not going away.
Yes. Lady, Footloose comes out today, so go watch that.
That'll
tell you how this fight's going to go down. We win.
No, please don't go see Footloose. Stay home and watch the original. I can't do it. Oh, God.
I know. I want to see it. I want to see it, but I'm also scared to see if they ruined it.
I am... They ruined it. They introduced the hip-hop style. That was not in the original, and I love some hip-hop dancing, but here's my problem. People, Hollywood, stop it. I think all the Hollywood people that are in control are in our sort of age group, maybe between the 40 and 45 to 30 age range are now the people that are making the movies, and they have so much nostalgia for all of our movies. They just feel like we need to remake every single one. No.
Yeah, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. It was perfectly fine the way it was. Actually, it was more than perfectly fine. It was.
It's a classic, and it should remain. So at least, you know, at least I feel this way. At least wait until the people are all dead. Kevin Bacon is still around. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not so old that he couldn't have even been in the movie again and danced. He's in good shape. I've seen him dancing recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. People, get rid of the nostalgia. I love our time period, too, when we were, you know, little kids and watching the movies, and some of you were just being born. Some of this is classics to them, too, because they grew up watching them in the house, even some of the newborns. Not newborns, but you know what I mean, the younger younger ones. So it's great to be nostalgic, but I do not need a repeat of those eight, because that's what this is all turning into. Every time I turn on the TV, we're remaking everything. It's like I'm watching the same era all over again, the 80s and 90s, all over again. We've already been through that. Can we get some new stuff?
New stuff. Give it to us.
Even our games are starting to repeat. Stop it. No more Halo. No more World of Warcraft. Stop it.
No. Give us something new. Give us something challenging, please. Please, for the love of Bob, something challenging.
For the love of Jesus, please.
Love of Bob and his holy noodliness.
All right, Ginger.
All right. I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com this morning. They pulled it from Huffington Post. They say, amusing similarities, Herman Cain's 999 tax plan and SimCity 4's default settings. An amusing post on the Huffington Post. Yeah. An amusing post on the Huffington Post from senior political reporter Amanda Turkel posits that Republican presidential candidate and former Godfather Pizza CEO Herman Cain's 9.9.9 tax plan draws was inspired by a video game. According to HuffPo, Cain's plan is identical to the default settings in SimCity 4. In case you're not familiar with the 9.9.9 plan Cain has been talking about on the campaign, it would put the corporate income tax rate at 9%, the personal income tax rate at 9%, and would add a national sales tax of 9%. In SimCity 4, the default tax rate is 9% for the commercial tax, 9% for the industrial tax, and 9% for residential tax.
Which is kind of freaking high.
Yeah. Clearly, the author is poking fun at Cain because she decides to talk to Kip Katasarlis, a senior producer at Max, about it, as well as a spokesperson for the campaign and a receptionist. Katasarlis tells the publication, oh my God, why are you giving me names like this, people? We encourage politicians to continue to look to innovative games like SimCity for inspiration for social and economic change. While we at Maxis and Electronic Arts do not endorse any political candidates or their platforms, it is interesting to see GOP candidate Herman Cain propose a simplified tax system like one we designed for the video game SimCity 4.
But it's nice.
Yes. Really? And now I'm wondering whether or not that's not where he got it from. Katasarlis says that adopting such a simple tax plan would allow politicians to focus on more important things like infrastructure, national security, and giant monster attacks. All right. This is hilarious. Our game design team thought that an easy-to-understand taxation system would allow players to focus on building their cities and have fun thwarting giant lizard attacks rather than be buried by overly complex financial systems. When asked about similarities between Cain's plan and SimCity 4's default tax rates, Cain campaign spokesman J.D. Gordon says, well, we all like 999. Really? That's all you got to say? Rich Lowry, the Ohio Wells Fargo employee who is credited with formulating Cain's plan, was not available for comment, but a receptionist at Lowry's Wells Fargo office said she doubted his idea came from the game. She says, probably not. I don't think he's much of a game person. I'm laughing. I think it's amusing. I don't know what to think about some of these politicians. I worry for the safety of our brain.
Okay, I'm minding my own beeswax. I'm moving along. Okay, and as for you, Jay Dukes, who said he thinks somebody should take the reins and remake the Garbage Pail Kids. I didn't like them either.
The garbage pail kids.
I did.
Oh, I hated them, and my mom wouldn't let me play with them anyways. But that's fine because I thought they were gross.
See, you're the only other person I've ever met that was like me. I could not stand the garbage pail kids. I thought they were gross too.
And I'm like, ew.
You know what I think it was for me? Probably the same for you. Growing up in the house with a mom who was a nurse for a short period of time, I actually saw the real stuff that you were seeing on the cards. So when I saw the cards, it just reminded me of the medical pictures I saw.
Yes.
I was like, oh, if you guys knew what this really looked like, you would not be, stop. Disgusting little.
I mean, to the point where I went to Rotten.com and saw an x-ray, and I was like, hey, no, wait a minute. I think I've seen that one before.
Oh, don't say Rotten.com. Now I'm not going to be able to eat today.
I haven't been there in years.
Well, too bad Blaster's not here to hear this. Actually, I'm going to skip that one because I see something I want to talk about. Why? Because if you hadn't noticed, we did I did a piece on Gamefly versus the Redbox. However, I haven't sent it over to them yet, which, you know, we do after it's morning. This is what we do in the mornings or afternoons. But Gamefly has launched an Android social network, which I will probably be signing up for after the show's over, even though I don't want any Gamefly. I just want to be on there.
Social network.
Yes, they've launched a set of social features for its Android app, allowing users to interact with fellow gamers as well as granting better access to Gamefly's catalog. Same features have been running on the company's iOS companion app since April. All the features, of course, will be cross-platform. The game rentals company has had 4.5 million downloads of its app between Android and iOS platforms, so the new features will potentially create a network of just as many members. Users can now create and browse profiles, find new opponents on Xbox Live and PSN, make, follow, and comment on posts, and connect with other social network tools such as Facebook and Twitter. Since we're very proud of our mobile app, and appeals to all gamers, not just Gamefly members, giving them top-quality news and information and a very interactive social experience, said Gamefly's co-founder, Sean Spector. He says, with an average in-app session lasting more than an hour, the new social features are a great resource for casual or avid gamers to learn about what's hot or what's not and to meet new people to game with. In May this year, Gamefly, of course, acquired IGN's direct-to-drive service to expand its business, having filed a $50 million IPO in 2010. Now, you say, what's so special about that? Yeah, I knew they had an app. Well, who's the other company that does something similar? Raptor. Do you see the fight coming?
I love me some fights.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Pop some popcorn, pull the chair, throw down some mud.
And they have also probably not taken into account Redbox, who I'm saying is a serious contender for all this. I know a lot of you are like, Redbox, put it this way. I didn't want to go to Redbox because I was being a snobby gamer, going, this is beneath me. Redbox, I'm going to go out and rent games. That is so Blockbuster. But the experience is completely different. You have no kid behind the counter harassing you. You know when you get there, your game is there. How do you know? Because you can check online before you even leave the house. So instead of going down to your local Blockbuster, like you used to have to do, and maybe they had a copy of the latest game, you get online, you type in, say, Ghost Recon, the new one that's coming out, and it will show you every Redbox within 50 miles that has a copy in, and then you can put in your credit card and reserve it. So that means if anybody else walks up, they cannot have your copy.
Ooh.
You go there, you swipe your card, they said, oh, it's you. It slides a little thing out. You have nobody you have to talk to. You get your game, you get back in your car. Fuss, no muss. I love it.
That is awesome. I love that. Ooh, I really do. I really like that.
And the really big coup de grace,
uh-huh.
You don't have to return it to that particular red box. You can return it anywhere. You could be all the way in California and have the game with you and say, I'm going to return it here. Bam, it goes back there. No problem.
That's awesome.
That's lovely. So check out that. Make sure you check out our article, Gamefly versus Redbox. They both have good pros and cons. Of course, Gamefly is the ultimate convenience because you don't have to leave the house. But you do have to wait for them to arrive, and hopefully they have one in stock for you. So always good. Always good.
It sounds good.
You guys with the garbage pail stuff.
That is so gross. Oh, my! I can even see some of the cards in my head, and I'm like, ew.
Y'all are nasty.
I know. Now, see, like that zombie doll I sent you a picture of the other day? That was awesome.
She's cute. Yeah.
They had a whole mess of them. They were all different, and they all had a different story. It was great.
You should have gone and picked up a few. Where were they at again?
They were at FIE, I think is what it's called. It's a little music store.
We don't have those here. We don't have those here.
Well, they had just like a little geeky section inside the store, and that's where it was at. You might be able to find them probably at Hastings or something. I mean,
Hot Topics, maybe.
Ooh, maybe Hot Topics. Not that I'm going in there, but yeah.
You're mad.
They got Angry Bird stuff right now.
Are you? Is it my turn?
No, no, it's my turn. It's my turn. My turn. And I got Lego stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I have the hiccups.
Bless you. Hey, from South, we say bless you. Oh, go away, fly. Seriously, there's been a fly in here for like a week, and it's driving me nuts. Okay, so build, battle, and race over $15,000 in prizes in the LEGO Universe Nexus Force Championships. Oh, yes, this sounds so good. Protecting imagination from the mischievous maelstrom of in LEGO Universe certainly is no easy feat. The LEGO Universe team is looking for the greatest in-game champions, asking players to flex their creative muscles, strength, and speed to find out which players are truly the most powerful. Who will come out ahead? The Master Builders of the Assembly, the Wild Adventurers of the Adventure League, perhaps the Mighty Sentinels of the Mysterious Paradox. Beginning October 13th, which is yesterday, and my birthday, by the way, eight full weeks of events will kick off in the first ever Nexus Forge Nexus Force Championships throughout the LEGO Universe Championships. Players will earn points for winning various in-game events and contests. The player with the most points at the end will be crowned the Nexus Force Champion. The Grand Champion will win fame, glory, and over $5,000 in LEGO toy sets, a new laptop computer, and more. There will also be tons of weekly prizes throughout the two-month event, rewarding such players for building, battling, and racing with real LEGO sets and more. All right, so if you want to find out more, you can head over to GameMatrix.com because that's where I'll get the link for you.
No.
Yes, GameMatrix.com. Check it out.
They got links?
Uh-huh, links.
And cupcakes, you say?
And cupcakes.
You know, I have some bad news.
And pictures of Corey and Lee.
Hey. We don't talk about that on the air anymore. I'm retiring. Aww. I'm retiring those shorts. They're going to come pajamas. I'm retiring those shorts. I have bad news. I am having to leave my mafia family.
Why?
The outfits, I don't know what you guys are doing. They have been sending requests. Al Capone will not accept my requests. And y'all know, if you're not with me, you're against me. Y'all know how I roll.
So that's hot.
Look, and it starts up right when I... You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you hear all that? Yeah.
That
was supposed to be my music for the Godfather game kicking in, but it kicked in way too late, so yeah.
Nice.
You can barely hear it. Now, here's my other good news. In a short bit, because it's taking a while to download, the lovely people at Funcom, hello, Erling, and Jen. I love calling their names out. They're probably asleep. What time is it in the Netherlands? It's like super
not
late.
Not a clue.
It's probably like super late. I think they're 12 hours ahead of us, which would actually make it 11:33 p.m.
Gaming.
But if you've been listening to us, you've heard us kind of mention this for the past year even. Funcom is making a new game called Secret World, and they have given us some lovely screenshots and a developer diary.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. You won't see it anywhere else just yet. Later in the day, maybe, but you know how we roll. We get it first. Okay. So,
that is hot.
Apparently, the new screenshots include a look at the characters from three secret societies. Remember I was telling you about this? Illuminati, the Dragon, and the Templars? Mm-hmm. I am an Illuminati. You know, you can go in and sign up early if you like, and you can pick which side you want to be. There's also two of the screenshots that show the new character faces, the graphics that are currently in development. Supposedly, it's supposed to show a huge leap in detail from the last ones we got. So if you search our site, there's some, but they're really old because they haven't said anything in a while. There's also live demos of the game from earlier state in the video. So it's supposed to give you an overview of the secret war, the gameplay within the secret world, and it focuses on the three secret societies and the conflict between them. You're also supposed to get a quick introduction to the three secret societies as well as exploring the PvP mechanics in the game.
Oh, I love me some PvP.
Wait, I'm not done. Not only is it PvP, but you have to fight to control legendary locations such as Stonehenge and El Dorado.
Ooh, that's hot.
And we also got some footage from the massive war zone areas where they're saying there are hundreds of players will be clashing together in epic pursuit.
Yes, I love that. They've not had that since Dark Age of Camelot.
Yep. epic, persistent PvP battles.
Persistent.
I want to play.
That sounded silly.
Breathe, girl, breathe.
Sorry, guys.
So as soon as they are completed downloading, because we have special access to the Funcom service. People are gonna be trying to hack my computer. I'm gonna be quiet. But in any case, I've got 4 different languages. I will get all of them for our UK people, our French and our Dutch listeners, because a lot of you out there like to listen to us. So I'll get a copy if it's in different text. Sometimes they say that and it's just the same one with subtitles, which really don't help you much, does it? But yes, I'm very excited about the Secret World. When I saw that this morning, I was like, "Oh, did they say persistent PvP? Did it say epic?
Persistent PvP? Seriously,
I'm in 100?
Love. I'm in love. I'm so in love.
Look, did you say hundreds of players at once playing?
Can we have this?
Yes, Funcom is like Paradox with us. They really, really love us. That's why we got our.
Yes.
Got a sneaky peek.
I want it.
Oh boy, it's gonna be a fight between me, you, and Blaster. I'm gonna have to write out a schedule for playtime.
No, they just need to give us, you know, enough accounts.
Well, everybody's not like all of us. Just like, here, take them, just go.
Like, come on, Funcom, please.
They like us pretty good, so we never know. But I am so excited about the PvP battles, just because, like I said, y'all don't know. You don't hear me over here yelling at the screen, because I'm telling you, City of Heroes, the first time I do get to play with Ginger, she is going to crack up, because you hear me, what? Oh, you want to throw ice? Oh, you want to throw ice? Well, how about some of this?
How about some of this?
You want to throw fire?
I love you, Corey. You're so funny.
I'm out of control. I love my...
You are out of control, but that is what we love about you.
That's my games.
Yes. Oh, I seriously, Dark Age Camelot, that was my thing. Actually, my phrase was usually me screaming to get into the tower, let me in. And then I get in there and they're bad guys and it was like, no, wait a minute, let me out. Let me out. And then they came out with my favorite. Okay, I can't go in there. I will go down that road and will never get me to shut up.
Having some serious gaming Joneses this past week. And that's how I know the cool weather is coming. I'm like in a rush to find me an MMO to just settle into the winter with and just...
Yeah.
If I had a nice Alienware laptop, I'd be happy.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You want me to tell you how bad it's getting, Ginger May? Let me tell you
how bad it is.
The Sims 2, when they came out with seasons, had weather, and you could pick, you know, whatever season you wanted. Just you could make it stay that weather. I had a neighborhood where it stayed winter for the whole year for my Sims.
That is awesome.
And I love the winter so much, I would play and just keep it in the wintertime. I'm sitting here with the blanket on me. It's cold. My Sims, and this is where I say, even though EA is crazy, they do have some brilliant people there. Your Sims' skin would change color, you know, the longer they stayed out in the ice. Their skin would start to turn blue. And then you'd see them shivering as they walk. That's good programming there.
That is.
So I'm noticing all this. And so I this is how bad it is. I'm thinking about installing The Sims 2 just so I can have the weather. I need something. I need something. Winter time. Somebody do something.
Somebody do it. Fix it. Make it.
When did we say Salem was due out?
Fourth quarter of 2011. Yeah, so soon.
2012, you mean. Oh, it's 2011.
2012? I thought it was 2011. Maybe it's 2012.
Please let it be 2011, because that's just a few weeks away. We could do that.
Yeah, let me see. I really want to say it's Salem.
Okay, I have got the screenshots for Secret World, and let me just tell you people, when I put these up, please keep your hands above the desk. Beautiful. Oh, my God. And this is, people, this is actual gameplay. I want to make that clear when I put this up. These shots are from actual gameplay. This is not pre-gen. This is not from movie. This is... Ginger's like, put them up already.
Yes. All right,
I'm waiting for the video.
Confirmed it is 2011.
Oh, good. We don't have much longer to wait. Okay, so this one here, we're going to have to wait a while. They've been working on it, and you guys know Funcom does not believe, after that whole Age of Conan fiasco, there will be no releasing early. And I know they fixed all the problems with Age of Conan, but damage already done. So, but
Lots and lots and lots of damage already done.
Mm-hmm. Go by secretworld.com, sign up, or funcom.com and sign up, and tell me what you are. If you're an Illuminati, you're with me, or I'm going to have to kill you.
I was an Illuminati when I did it, because I remember doing it a while back. They actually had you do like a little quiz.
Yes, to test and see where you fall.
Yeah.
Illuminati.
Yes, yes. All right, GamePolitics.com this morning. SEC changes disclosure rules on reporting cyber attacks.
Are you kidding me?
No. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, released new guidelines on Thursday that require publicly traded companies to disclose when they are the victim of a security breach or cyber attack. New guidelines are the result of members of Congress pressuring the watchdog agency to add them following several major cyber attacks earlier this year. Senator John Rockefeller is one of those lawmakers. The SEC said Thursday that if a cyber attack occurs and leads to loss, then companies should disclose the losses or attempt to estimate what is reasonably possible in terms of a financial impact. Rockefeller said in a statement to Reuters, intellectual property worth billions of dollars has been stolen by cyber criminals, and investors have been kept completely in the dark. This guidance changes everything. The SEC said that while it won't require companies to describe how they will protect themselves in the aftermath of a cyber attack, they do have to disclose the cost of fixing compromised networks, increased security costs, related lost revenues, losses related to losing customers, litigation costs, and possible costs related to a hit in their reputation. This year, several major corporations have been hit with cyber attacks. Really? We haven't heard anything. Including Sony, Google, Lockheed Martin, Citigroup, and International Monetary Fund.
Oh, come on.
Actually, this ties in. I wish I had the story. I've lost it now. I think it was 2-3 days ago. There was a thing up on YouTube where Anonymous U-Tools, were threatening to attack our U.S. stock market.
Why?
I don't know.
Don't we have enough trouble already?
I know. I was like, great. Yeah, that's wonderful. Go ahead. Crash our whole economy. That's brilliant. Just real smart. You guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I got some more juice. And I gotta do two, Ginger, because I gotta tie the, well, you know what? We're about to go into break. I can't. Oh God, you guys are gonna miss this. I'm gonna keep talking because this is juicy. The fighting continues between Apple and Android, and it's even better than just the fight. Okay. First, I'm sorry, and some of you are just going to have to download to hear the rest of this, but I will start. Apparently, a U.S. judge has said that Samsung does infringe on Apple's patents, but Apple has to prove first that their patents are even valid. Ooh, yeah. Remember we've been telling you about that? U.S. judge declared that Samsung does infringe on Apple's patents with its Galaxy smartphones and tablets, but also said that Apple has to prove the validity of these patents. This is also via a Reuters report. The news is a half win for Apple. If it can prove its patents are valid, it will be able to block the sale of Samsung's infringing products in the U.S. district. Judge Lucy Koh made the statements during a court hearing yesterday. Apple filed suit against Samsung in April, saying that the Korean company slavishly copied its designs with the Galaxy S smartphones and Galaxy tablets. Apple later asked for an injunction barring the sale of Samsung's products in the U.S. It says, we think we've clearly raised substantial questions. This is Samsung's attorney Kathleen Sullivan said, referring to the validity of Apple's patents. Apple attorney Harold McIlhenny argued that Apple's patents shouldn't be invalidated by previous designs, since Apple's product design is a leap beyond previous tablets. According to Reuters, Judge Koh made several references to the design similarities between the tablets. During the hearing, she asked if Samsung attorney could tell the differences between the two devices at one point while holding both tablets above her head. He said, not at this distance, Your Honor, Sullivan said, who Reuters noted was standing about 10 feet away. Koh asked again if Sony lawyer could tell the difference between the devices, and eventually Gwen gave the right answer. Koh also noted that she wouldn't grant Apple's injunction based on a single utility patent, though she noted that this decision is just tentative at the moment. Oh. Okay. Ginger, are you still with us, baby?
Oh, yes. Oh. Hear me?
No.
That was so much fun.
Now, since we're about to go off, the second part of this lovely thing is that the droid that's coming out.
Droid.
They're saying the Droid HD could actually be faster than the iPhone 4S.
Yay! Ooh. I love that.
The fight.
And I'm on the side of the android.
Yes, because that's what we are, droid.
Okay, so the upcoming and heavily anticipated new Android phone from Motorola is reportedly thinner and faster than the iPhone 4S. It also has a larger screen, which will run on Verizon's 4G LTE network. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, we finally have a phone that even the Apple fanboys and girls may grudgingly admit can be the iPhone killer.
This is so hot.
This is from our peoples over at VentureBeat. I love them. Okay, so let me give you the specs. This is from Boy Genius Report. It was handed to Boy Genius Report by anonymous source because, you know, they can't say who gave.
Mm-hmm.
It's thinner, of course, and faster. 4.3-inch display. The iPhone 4S has a 3.5-inch Retina display. 4G LTE. Comparable service will not be available for the iPhone 4 4S users, period. 1 gigabyte of onboard RAM, which is twice the RAM on the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 4S. 1.2 gigahertz dual-core processor. The iPhone 4 has dual-core A5 chip. There's also a very vague teaser trailer that's up on YouTube, which we'll be adding to our channel. We're going to borrow that from you guys at VentureBeat. Thanks, yeah. The device will be...
Thanks, yeah.
The device will, of course, be a Motorola Verizon collaboration, which means it'll filter down to the rest of us eventually, and it's going to be called the Droid HD and the Droid Razr. Yes, I had to say it that way. The particular throwback. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's also maybe called Spider. The two companies are jointly announcing the phone's launch next week. The Droid HD may not be the top Android contender for long, though, judging from what's out on the market. Nexus Prime, Google's latest flagship device, is supposed to blow all of them out of the water. Ooh. So Samsung and Google are planning to also announce the Nexus Prime as well as the Android 4.0 on October 18th in Hong Kong. This is getting juicy.
Yes. That is awesome.
Juicy. Oh. I want all of them. Just hand them over. No. I'll even take the iPhone. I'm just serious business.
Mm-hmm.
I said I'd take it if it was handed to me.
Yeah.
I won't buy it, but I'll take it.
What have I got? Oh, we read about this last night very shortly. But most of y'all don't listen at night, so I'm going to mention it this morning. GamePolitics.com. Catwoman in Arkham City requires a VIP passcode redemption.
No, you did not mention that last night. You said that before the show when we were talking.
I was going to mention it during the show, and then, we just got distracted. And
yes.
Yes. Corey and I got to hold down the fort last night. It was great. Warner Brothers has confirmed to Eurogamer that the Batman Arkham City VIP pass, a code that comes in the retail box, unlocks the playable Catwoman content. While Warner Brothers says that playing as Catwoman is not required to complete the game, to access her in the campaign missions, you'll need to use the code. When Warner Brothers first started talking about Catwoman as a playable character, they noted that her part in the game's story was around 10%. Apparently, you can play the game without her, and her omission will not affect getting the Platinum Trophy on the PS3. Without the VIP passcode, Catwoman still appears in the game as part of the storyline, but her playable missions remain locked, as do many achievements or trophies associated with her. All right, so on the Xbox 360, the Batman VIP Pass cost 800 Microsoft points, and on the PlayStation 3, it cost £7.99, Lindens, whatever the little L sign is, or around $10 USD. Eurogamer uncovered this news from a video title screen. It read, Catwoman is a unique character with her own story, moves, and weapons. Unlock Catwoman by redeeming the first purchaser, included in the game case, or by visiting Xbox Live Marketplace. So apparently if you buy the game used, you're going to have to pay $10 to get access to her.
Why didn't they just release her as downloadable content if you were going to do that?
I don't know.
That's idiotic.
I just want to know why you have to pay to play her. Come on. I mean, I don't mind playing guy characters, but I like the idea of having a girl character. And I don't want to have to pay extra just to play a girl.
How about you just release two versions? Why can't I just be Catwoman?
Yes.
Would have been better. She should have had her own game, and you could have tied the two of them in some kind of way. I don't know. But
yes. Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that thought. Yeah.
Now I got to play as Batman. He's so clunky.
Yes. Yes, he is. He's got some cool toys, don't get me wrong. I love the toy. But I want to play Catwoman.
You reminded me of Jack Nicholson in Batman. Where does he get those wonderful toys?
He's got awesome stuff. But he doesn't have boobs, and he doesn't have the whip, and it doesn't have the ears or the tail, and yeah.
What's the favorite line? You make it so easy, don't you? Always waiting for some Batman to save you. I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
That is hot.
Yes. Anyway, I'm all girl power now. Oof. Somebody going to get cut. Okay, so anyway, 3DS sales are up 10% in September. Nintendo has announced new milestones for the sales of the DS range in the U.S., reaching 50 million units for that range as a whole and nearly 500,000 3DS sales since the price cut back in August. Citing the latest figures from NPD, Nintendo revealed a 10% spike in sales of the 3DS in September compared to August, shifting 260,000 units of the stereoscopic handheld. GI.biz is also saying that the Nintendo DS forever changed the gaming landscape, and the fact that the consumers continue to embrace the platform is a testament to its value and mass appeal, said Nintendo of America's executive VP and sales and marketing, Scott Moffitt. He says, our handheld story continues with the 3DS system. I'm having some issues talking. Breathing, something's going on.
breathe. You need to breathe. You got to breathe for the whole living thing.
Yes, I know. It says, which, of course, which just had its second consecutive month of growth, and, of course, it's entering the holiday season with a monster lineup of games, including Super Mario 3D Land and Mario Kart 7. The company shifted 647,000 hardware units in total during the month of September, including nearly a quarter of a million Wiis. Good God, still?
Wow.
During its lifetime, the DS range has sold more than 273 million units of software in the U.S. alone, which amounts to the equivalent of an incredible 107,000 units every day for over 7 years.
Wow. That's hot.
Nintendo, you is awesome.
Yes, you are, Nintendo. Awesome. Very awesome. Holy, and still selling that. How long have they been out?
Since 2005, the Wii's been out.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's gamer love.
Yes, that is. That is. All right, what have I got? Oh, I've got crazy worms. Oh, crazy.
Okay, yeah. Are there sane worms? This is Frank and Bass.
I guess not, because these ones play golf, apparently. Worms Crazy Golf release date confirmed. Watch as Worms wriggle the plank in the new Pirate Cavern course trailer. Wait, what? They can wriggle the what? Anyways, go away, Fly. Golfing greats and sufferers of scurvy. Team 17 today announced that Worms Crazy Golf will be released on Wednesday, the 19th of October, 2011. Worms Crazy Golf is a brazenly bonkers mixture of classic 2D worms and hilarious 18-hole hijinks. Spread across a variety of weird and wonderful courses and featuring some mind-bendingly mental power-ups, this is the craziest golf you'll ever play. Team 17 also released a brand new gameplay trailer today, which I'm going to put up on GamingMatrix.com in a little bit, showcasing the swashbuckling golf puzzle action that takes place in Worms Crazy Golf Pirate Cavern Course. All right, Worms Crazy Golf is set for release on Wednesday, the 19th of October, 2011, for the PC, from Steam, for iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and for PlayStation 3. In Europe, in the United States, PlayStation 3 version will release the following week on Tuesday, the 25th of October. All right, so there are links to their Facebook and to their actual page, but you're going to have to go over to GameAndAtrix.com to get them.
All right. Well, remember all that Eve controversy?
Uh-huh.
Well, Eurogamer is reporting that CCP has offered lapsed EVE Online users a money-off incentive to sign back up following a series of controversies over the summer surrounding the game. As detailed by Massively, the developer has sent out emails to former subscribers asking them to reactivate their accounts for $4.95 for 30 days play, rather than the standard $14.95 rate. Now, although such offers are relatively common for MMOs, the email specifically references the recent tensions between players and developers, with a quote from senior producer Arnar Galsson, reminding recipients that they can expect immediate refocusing of all the EVE development teams on EVE's core gameplay, Spaceships. The offer comes quick on the heels of CCC boss Hilmar Vagar, his remarkably candid apology for unpopular plans to monetize the game and for the implementation of the Incarna expansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that expansion was pretty crappy for most of the players, apparently. They were not happy about that. So.
And then you said bad things. It was just lose, lose, lose all
mm-hmm,
the way around.
Yeah. Calling them somewhat cheap. Yeah, pretty sure calling your customer base cheap, not a very good thing. Just saying.
You can think it, but you better not ever say it.
No kidding, right? All right, what have I got? What have I got? I just lost it. I had it.
But you lost it.
I don't know. Okay, oh, here we go. Enjoy Games Up announces Gaia's Moon on DSiWare and eShop service. Fly through the fantastic skies of Gaia in this fun adventure. Something strange is causing changes to the balance of energy in Gaia that is necessary to prolong life. To discover the cause, you must play the role of Atreyu, oh, I love that name, and his magical cane Milo, magical cane? All right, whose help you will need to be able to fly. But be very careful, the whole planet has gone mad and out of control, and existential? Yeah, chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Existential. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the game mechanics are simple. With a single button, you provide the necessary energies to the cane Milo, flying Atreyu through... flying Atreyu... Atreyu?
Get it done, get it done.
Flying Atreyu through the skies of Gaia. Use your skills to discover who is behind this end. Use your skills to discover who is behind this and return harmony to the Gaia system. There is no point limit. Get the highest score in the ranking. You'll also be able to challenge a friend in two-player mode, sharing the same Nintendo DSi or Nintendo 3DS. All right, so we've got unlimited adventure mode, two players on the same Nintendo DSi or Nintendo 3DS console, simple yet very fun control of all types of players, amazing graphics with high quality and detail. All right, somebody take the sun out of this guy. It's hitting my eyes. It's not very nice.
What's in your eye?
The sun is coming through the window and it's blinding me.
I'm like, is that part of the news story? No, it's not. She said something. Okay, yeah, Ginger.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The sun is coming through and it's killing me.
Oh, we're so sorry, Ginger. We love you.
Oh, I love you too.
See, that's Friday love. That's what Follow Friday's all about.
Yes.
All right. We got 3 minutes. Dare I try to fit another in?
We could try, maybe. Or we could just go play some music. I don't know.
Or we could go.
We could go.
Would they be angry, you think?
Nah.
Are you sure? Because, you know, we've taught them to cut.
Yeah, but see, we taught them. We're the teachers, so we're better at it.
You do have a point.
Mm-hmm.
But... But I do need to tell them this. I have to.
Okay.
I was going to go before I saw this. Okay. So remember we were telling you that Microsoft was buying Skype. Well, they hadn't come.
Uh-huh.
They hadn't finished. They hadn't finished. But now they have. The sale is complete. They announced.
Oh, no. Let the evil begin.
Yes. They completed. It's $8.5 billion purchase of
Holy
the video chat company.
Jesus.
Now that's a deal, Microsoft's biggest yet is official. Skype CEO Tony Bates will become the president of the Skype division at Microsoft. La 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 la. Reporting directly to CEO Steve Ballmer. La 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 la.
Nice.
Skype will have employees located all over the world, including Russia, Sweden, and the UK. But Microsoft will explore more ways to integrate Skype into its offerings, which we know is going to be Connect somehow. I don't know why. Together, we're able to accelerate Skype's goal to reach 1 billion users daily. Honey, okay, there's only so many people on the planet, just so you know, and some of them are too young to use Skype. with the news of the deal was first announced, Microsoft said it was interested in bringing Skype to its Kinect Xbox accessory, which we said, which has a built-in camera, Windows Phone, and Office. The potential integration for Skype is almost limitless, as there are plenty more Microsoft products that it could improve. Microsoft previously said it would continue to offer Skype software for other platforms. On stage today at the Dell conference in Austin. Yes, they're down there where the GDC is. Why? I don't know. Why didn't they just go to the GDC? But they're down there. Ballmer expressed interest in having Skype power Microsoft Link business communication tool. The combination of Microsoft and Skype could be a major problem for Cisco, which has been pushing expensive video conferencing solutions to businesses for some time now. And you've probably seen the ads on TV. If anyone can get access to faster, high-def video chats from their own PCs, there won't be much need to buy more expensive solutions from Cisco. Skype recently acquired the group messaging startup GroupMe earlier this year, and it snapped up live video streaming company Quick, both of which could prove useful for Microsoft. Of course, and there's a little flyer thing that they're passing around that shows some interesting Skype tidbits. The company claims that Skype now reaches 300 million video chat minutes per day. They're going to try to find some way to monetize it.
Yes, they are. That's exactly what they're going to try to do, and we're going to find something else because, yeah.
I tell you what, my gold membership goes up anymore, I'm leaving. I'm going to be a...
No kidding.
I'm going to be a PS3 girl because I can play that for free.
Exactly.
I don't need paid account. Just so you hear me, Microsoft. All right, that's going to do it for us. It is Friday, and it's time to go drink the margaritas.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Margaritas. Oh, no, no, no.
But we will see you guys bright and early Monday. Please do not text me in the morning, people, asking me, is there a podcast? There is no podcast on the weekends.
No podcast on the weekends. We'll be sleeping because, Ginger will be up way too late gaming.
Oh, yes. It's all about some gaming. Well, tomorrow night. Remember, tomorrow I'll be at the Microsoft Center. Make sure you come out. Say hello. Don't touch me.
Come say hello, but don't touch me.
Somebody's going to try to hug a little too tight.
Well, that's because you're hot.
See, you're not helping. All right, we'll see you guys Monday.
See you guys. Mondays is for drinking to the soul I'm seeking. I've been working on a cocktail called Grams for Divorce.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah.